ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN Las Vegas, K265EZ. It's time for the ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM UNLV football pregame show. Brought to you by Seven Sinful Subs, your tailgating headquarters on college football Saturdays. 4632 South Maryland Parkway across from UNLV, 702-998-2555. Live from Sam Boyd Stadium, here's your hosts, Mike Grimala and Joe Arrigo.
Welcome to the first edition of the UNLV football pregame show here on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. I'm Joe Arrigo from Inside the Rebels, and joining me this year is the Las Vegas Suns Rebel Insider. He's a reporter. He's the man, Mike Grimala. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, man. You excited about this season to get underway?
I am, actually. I'm more optimistic than most people, I believe.
Yeah, it's, I feel like the excitement level is actually there this year. Really. It may not have been the previous 2 years. It was more of a Tony Sanchez thing. I think this year you get a sense from fans and social interaction that it's actually the team that's sort of generating excitement. People think the team is capable of doing something.
Well, no, this is the first time in the Sanchez era that 85% of this team is his guys. I mean, if you look back at the past years, that offensive line was really a good example of it. When he first got here, they were undersized, both in height and in weight. They weren't strong enough, and now he's 2 and 3 deep across the board on the offensive line. Returns 4/5 of his starters there. And I tell you what, this season, the expectations, he's done a great job of raising the bar, he being Coach Sanchez, but raising the bar in terms of rebuilding one of this program that was arguably one of the three worst in college football when he took over.
Yeah, and they've come a long way, and I mean, we can talk about the offensive line, but I think most people want to talk about Armani Rodgers this year. I think like that's the way we have to start it off. Like that's where it starts this year. That's probably where it's going to end. This is the Armani Rodgers year.
This is the Armani Rodgers era for all intents and purposes. The highest rated recruit in UNLV history. He was a 4-star recruit from 24/7 and Rivals. Scout had him as a 3-star recruit. Now, what other impact freshmen have you noticed? I know I have 2 or 3 I really like that I've been I've known for over a year now since the recruiting trail. But who are 2 or 3 freshmen that you really like that could impact the team this year and beyond?
Well, you mentioned Greg Francis, and with the secondary being such a question mark, anyone that can come in there and be solid and consistent and someone trustworthy that you can trust not to give up a backbreaking play is going to catch eyes. So if the coaching staff believes that Greg Francis can come in and give you some snaps at safety and play in certain packages and maybe give you some of that, that's a player that I think would be worth watching as the season goes on.
I think there's 3 guys on the offensive side of the ball that we really need to keep an eye on. One is Drew Techman, the receiver from Georgia. He shot up the depth chart up to the second string really quick, and he's smooth, he's fast. He's a guy that can – we got former Rebel Mike Donato walking by. He's a guy that really is – a big play waiting to happen. We may even see that in a return game with Presley.
He made some big plays in camp in the preseason.
He's special. And then offensive lineman Justice Olawosun from Texas. This guy turned down Kansas State and a couple other offers. And Techman turned down NC State to come to UNLV. So those 2 guys, I think Olawosun, who they worked out at center a little bit once they're trying to figure that position out. But he's the guy to keep an eye on. And the guy for the future that I really like, that I think that this staff is extremely high on, is Tyreek Hollinsworth, the running back from Sacramento. He has the best hands in the running back group, according to some of the coaches I talked to already. He's a 5'11", 215-pound running back that runs well, and he's fast. So there's 3 guys on that side of the ball, and I don't know what they're going to do with Hollinsworth this year, but I know Techman and Olawosun may get some time early on this year.
Yeah, and if you mention a running back that can catch the ball, that's something that the offense sort of lacks. Charles Williams, Lexington Thomas, both good runners. Neither one caught a lot of passes last year. I mean, if I had been advising Lexington Thomas in the offseason, I would have told him, catch 1,000 balls from the jugs machine every day, because the first guy that can step up and catch some passes, I could see getting some additional playing time there.
I would agree. So when we come back, we're going to tell you about the Sanchez effect. Why Tony Sanchez may be the most important person in UNLV football history. That's coming up next right here on the UNLV pregame show on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
These days, you can put your logo on anything, but that doesn't mean you should. Let us show you what a difference the right promotional product can make to help build your brand and attract new, long-lasting customers. We're 4imprint, the nation's leading team for promotional items. Today, we're revealing the top 3 promotional items for driving new customers absolutely free. Plus, get a coupon for 10% off by texting ART to 642642. With 4imprint, your logo can make lasting impressions, attract new customers, and help your brand to boost your bottom line. With thousands of items to choose from and free art assistance, we'll make your logo shine with fast, reliable customer service that's second to none. High-quality products, exclusive items, and popular brands at great prices with on-time shipment guaranteed. Discover the top 3 promotional items for driving new customers for free, plus get a coupon for 10% off by texting ART to 642642. ART to 642642.
Attention, this is an investor notice. Are you interested in making some extra cash buying real estate tax liens? Then listen to this. The Government Tax Lien Network is offering a free tax lien kit, which contains 2 DVDs and a step-by-step report that will show you how to earn guaranteed returns between 15 and 35% yearly, which is completely secured by the government. They'll even show you how to do this inside your own retirement accounts. So if you're looking to become a real estate investor without the risk, then call 1-800-597-9203 now to get your free tax lien kit. Then get ready to buy tax liens for pennies on the dollar and buy houses for as low as $500, all from your home with little or no money, working only 5 to 10 hours per week. Call 800-597-9203 right now to get your free tax lien kit, plus 2 free tickets to a live training event and a free $20 Visa gift card just for attending. Call 800-597-9203. That's 800-597-9203 for your free tax lien kit now. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Chef Vic Vegas, and you've seen me on Bar Rescue, Food Network, and other channels like NBC. I opened my Shop 7 Sinful Subs when I couldn't find the sandwiches that I loved. I figured, you know, you can't find them. You might as well create your own. Check out our most popular tailgate platter, the Rebel Huddle. This platter includes 12 mini of any sandwiches you want. Chicken fingers, potato chips, and sodas. We are located directly across from UNLV. Call 702-998-2555 for your tailgating needs or visit 7sinfulsubs.com.
It's Labor Day weekend. Time to put away your white clothes, stuff yourself with hot dogs, and come to Findlay Toyota to receive complimentary first-year registration. It's a Vegas tradition. Thursday, August 31st through Monday, September the 4th will include your first-year registration when you purchase or lease any new vehicle at Findlay Toyota. And that's in addition to the already great deals. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Message and data rates may apply.
Sick of hair loss, thinning hair, bald spots? Ever thought about hair restoration? It's a life-changing decision. Thankfully, the first step is incredibly easy and absolutely free because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is giving everyone who texts HAIR to 543-543 an absolutely free information kit that reveals just how easy and affordable their permanent solution to hair loss really is. You'll see for free just how great your hair could look. Plus, when you text HAIR to 543-543, we'll also give you a gift card for $250 off. Join the millions of men and women who have come to Bosley, the world's most experienced hair restoration expert, for their permanent solution to hair loss. If you've ever thought about getting your hair back, don't miss this incredible offer. We're giving away an invaluable information kit absolutely free, plus a free $250 gift card to everyone who texts HAIR to 543-543. That's H-A-I-R to 543-543.
Welcome back to the ESPN 1100 100.9 FM UNLV football pregame show. Brought to you by 7 Sinful Subs, your tailgating headquarters on college football Saturdays. Grab the Rebel Platter. Includes 12 mini subs, chicken fingers, potato chips, and soda. 4632 South Maryland Parkway across from UNLV. 702-998-2555. Here's your hosts, Mike Grimala and Joe Arrigo.
Welcome back to the Rebel pregame show on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. And before we went to break, we talked about the Sanchez effect. And Mike, you know, we both cover the team, and I can make the argument that Tony Sanchez is the most important person in UNLV football history right now.
Who would be your other contenders? Randall Cunningham, John Robinson. I mean, it's kind of a short list.
And maybe Icky Woods.
Yeah,
Kenyon McCardell.
Yeah, they've got about a half of a Mount Rushmore. They don't have a full Mount Rushmore yet. It's still under construction. They don't have like a a Hall of Fame that's, you know, very difficult to get into. But Tony Sanchez has done some very big things so far. I mean, I think more so off the field in terms of infrastructure and community type stuff, as opposed to, you know, they haven't started to win yet. This could be the first year where sort of the on-field product catches up to the off-field impact, and that's, you know, sort of what makes this an important season in terms of wins and losses and the product that they put on the field.
I would agree, and I think, you know, on the field, UNLV historically would have every 4 years, that's when they would have that team that goes to a bowl, because they were so senior heavy, and then it would drop off again. There would be a fall off. Where now, this team is experienced, but they're young. And he had to change the culture. He had to change the mentality of the program. He had to show them how – he has to show them how to win and how to really turn it on. And that, besides just that, I mean, he's raised $20 million pretty much by himself for the Fertitta Football Complex. And he's at a point where now that Desiree Francois, Reed Francois, comes in as athletic director, she's great with fundraising. He can focus on football now. He can focus on coaching. Instead of going out to try to get a couple million dollars here to finish the project, he can focus solely on taking that time and working on X's and O's and breaking down film against the next opponent.
Yeah, less time, you know, wearing a suit and talking at, you know, public forums, and more time, you know, focusing on, you know, watching film and putting the team through practice. So, yeah, that's a good thing. And you can kind of see the blueprint taking shape. You know, if you can go to a bowl game this year, and then again in one of the next 2 years, and you've got two out of 3 years, you know, in a bowl, you've got a new stadium opening in 2020. That gives you a few years to start really. Once that momentum starts going, maybe you start landing a few more of these elite local prospects, which I know is high on his priority list.
Yep.
To start, you know, recruiting some of the elite local players. And then once that starts happening, you can sort of maybe reach out of your area and pluck some really good players from, you know, other regions, and really start to get it going and start replenishing and, you know, make the machine really, really hum. So you can kind of see the blueprint off in the distance kind of coming into focus.
Yeah, I look at what he's done, and again, we said it to start the show, he came into a program that was really one of the bottom three programs in all of college football, and he's turned it around. He's raised the expectations, and I heard him say this the first practice, and I'm going to paraphrase, and I don't know if you heard it as well. He goes, guys, playing close games against good teams or just against teams and coming up just short used to be good enough, but it's not good enough now. Our goal is to get to a bowl game. Our goal is to win those close games and to move forward and build something here. And he set the tone early in camp about with that, and he hasn't deviated from it. He's demanding that these guys practice better. He's demanding that his team pays attention to the littlest details, and he demands that these guys are going out there and they're giving forth that effort in practice. Because if it's not, he'll stop practice and chew them out. I mean, this is something that hasn't been done before here.
Yeah, and if you remember last year, how many games did Tony Sanchez come to the press conference after the game and say, you know, well, we were within one score in the fourth quarter, and, you know, things of that, you know, something along those lines. And, I mean, last year that may have been enough for people to, you know, be optimistic. But if that happens this year, it's going to be disappointing. Like, you've got to win those games now. No one cares if you're, you know, close in the fourth quarter. They want to know whether you won or you lost. And just the fact that you've gotten UNLV to the point where people can even expect you to win some games, it's kind of an accomplishment in itself.
How many times has a national publication promoted a single player at UNLV like they did with Armani Rogers this year?
It's been a long time. Like, I've been covering this market for 5 years, and this is by far, there's no comparison. Even though they've made a bowl during that time, this is by far the most excited people are about this team and this program.
I would agree. So let's get into predictions now before we get out of here. Now, we talked about going to a bowl. And I know I'd get my prediction on the press box, but what is your record prediction for UNLV this year?
6-6, I think they can do. Like, 6-6 would be a good season. I think that's where they finish.
I'm sipping the Sanchez Kool-Aid, and I'm an eternal optimist, and I think they're going to surprise everybody and win 9 games, 9-3.
Maybe we should start casting those Armani for Heisman votes right now. I mean, he's going to get some if he gets his team to 9-3.
Well, I mean, I look at it, and the way I look at it is, you know, they beat Idaho, they lose Ohio State. I think San Diego State is down, to be honest with you. We forfeit their offensive line, their quarterback, their starting running back, even though the back they have now is a better pro prospect and their best defensive player. You know, I think they're ripe for the taking. I think Hawaii is going to be a tough game. I think they win the Cannon. The Cannon comes back down here and becomes beautiful, scarlet. And I, for whatever reason, I just think this team's going to overachieve a little bit.
Well, that leads me into this. Let me ask you, predict UNLV's best win. What is their best win this year?
Their best win? I would say... That's a good question.
Is it Idaho?
I think that's their most important game early on. I think their best win is going to be Reno, to be honest with you. Anytime you can beat your rival and bring the cannon back, that's going to be the most important win of the season.
Yeah. I think they win that game as well.
So, okay, let's do this. Before we get out of here, let's do some rapid fire. Who do you think the Rebels' leading rusher is going to be this season?
Lexington Thomas.
Really?
I'm a Lexington Thomas guy. Like, Charles Williams is good. Big things out of Lexington. He makes some moves that I think he kind of flies under the radar, but he's very elusive. He's a big play hitter. I could see him leading the team. They're co-number ones, according to the depth chart. So I could see him, if he gets enough carries, I could see him leading the team.
I'm going to go with Charles just because I think Charles is a little bit bigger and stronger, but I love Lexington. You have two great people there at running back as well. I think that's big. What about receiving? I think we're pretty much in tandem with this.
Yeah, Devontae Boyd.
Yeah, I don't think that goes without saying. What about tackler? Who do you think the Rebels' leading tackler is going to be this year?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say Keys probably, if he ends up playing the most games. If he keeps that job and he's out there for most of the time, I'll go with Keys. That's a very safe projection.
I'm going to say Hester. I think Hester's going to overtake him early on and be that guy. Now when it comes to something they didn't get a lot of in the last couple of years, sacks, who do you think is going to be the leading sacker for UNLV?
I'll go Jameer Outsi, just because he's been getting a lot of praise from the coaches during training camp. I don't think it's going to take much to lead the team. 4.5, 5.5 might do it.
Yeah, I would say Outsi's that guy. I mean, he's a big time newcomer from Mesa Community College by way of Iowa. So people don't know the name they need to.
Let me ask you this: will Armani Rogers be a top three Mountain West quarterback this season?
Absolutely.
So you've got Josh Allen, and then he's probably the number one, and then you've got Nick Stevens or Brett Rippin, or who are those two? You think who is he going to have to beat out to get into that top three group?
I think Stevens. I think Rippin is the number two guy, and then I think Armani and Stevens are in that next group. And I think Armani, I think he's going to do more than Stevens this year. Since 2001, UNLV has not returned a punt for a touchdown. Do they do it this year?
Brandon Presley, yes, he'll do it.
Do you think he does it today?
He very well may. He's hit. Did anyone have a better offseason than Brandon Presley coming back from that injury?
I don't think so.
He looked really good.
Really good. He did.
Let me ask you, I'm also a UNLV basketball guy. They've got a recruit in town for an official visit, Bryce Hamilton. Will he be at this game today? Is UNLV football good enough where UNLV basketball brings their recruits to the games?
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they did, because I know Marvin and Tony are pretty close, and they really support each other. But I think it'd be a big – if they did, it'd be big time, and it'd be cool to see him get the win with him here.
Yeah. I mean, it's at big programs that have big-time football programs, and you see that, and it's good because you get that electrifying atmosphere. So if UNLV basketball is confident enough to bring a recruit to a football game, I think that says something about the football team. I'll keep an eye out for him.
Okay, so we both like the running backs. How many 1,000-yard rushers will UNLV have this season?
I'll say two. I'll say Lexington Thomas and then either Charles Williams or a dark horse, Armani Rogers.
I knew you were going to go with Armani there.
Only one of those two. I can't see. If I say that 3,000-yard rushers on this team, people are going to think that I'm just a total homer and that I'm just going full-on Tony Sanchez Kool-Aid. I've got to keep it somewhat reined in. I'll say two.
Well, I got the Kool-Aid. I'll agree with two, and I'll say Charles and Lex. I think those are the two guys. At the end of the day, both of those guys are so special. They're electric with the ball in their hands. And at the end of the day, today is eternal optimism for UNLV football fans. It's the start of a new season.
Yeah, we'll let it go. It's opening day. It's the week one. You can be optimistic.
For Mike Grimala, I'm Joe Arrigo. We want to thank Seven Simple Subs for the sponsorship. We want to thank UNLV for having us here out at Sam Boy Stadium. Check us out next week when UNLV takes on Idaho. Mike will actually be up in Idaho with the team. I'll be down here taking care of you. Follow Mike at Mike Grimala on Twitter. And I'm at Joe Arrigo on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy the game. UCLA to become a Rebel 2 years ago, and he redshirted last year in a year that the quarterback play last year was not great, but there was a ton of injuries across the board, in particular at the receiver position. And Tony did a really good job of being patient and allowing Armani to grow into a role that now he is the face of the university for all intents and purposes.
Which is kind of amazing for a player. I mean, I guess it says something about the state of the program in recent years that someone who's never taken a snap and, you know, is a freshman, we've never seen him play, he's already the most important player and the most well-known player, and he's already the star and the focal point. And, I mean, we're going to see him take his first snap tonight, and this will be his first game. And, I mean, I think that's driving a lot of the excitement for this season opener. But, yeah, that's very – Armani Rogers and his development and him just being here is probably the most important thing that's happened under Tony Sanchez in terms of on the field, like in terms of the team. That's probably the most important thing.
Well, that leads to a question I think everybody wants to know, and I think we can talk about it for a little bit, is does this season fall squarely on Armani's shoulders as being the guy, being QB1 for the Rebels?
When you're the quarterback, doesn't it always seem to fall on your shoulders? Like, the team's record is your record. The quarterback has a record attached to his name. So, like, in that sense, it always comes down to the quarterback. Like, Armani Rogers will have a win-loss record along with the team this season. So, I mean, whether they succeed or whether they come up short, Armani's going to be tied to that. And, I mean, freshman or not, like, he's got to be ready for that. Like, that's the responsibility that comes with playing quarterback.
I would agree, and I think too, but the one thing that he has and not a lot that they didn't have, or most redshirt freshmen coming into this type of situation doesn't have, had never had before, is he's got a loaded arsenal with him. With Devontae Boyd, he gets Keys back, Darren Woods comes back, Presley, he got freshman Drew Techman, not to mention the running backs, Charles Williams, Lex Thomas, Xavier Campbell, Evan Owens. He's loaded, and he has the pressure because he had all the accolades coming in, but if he doesn't play out of himself, you know, he plays within himself and does the things that he needs to do and continues each week to get better and better and progress, I think he can truly have a special freshman or retro freshman season based off of just the amount of weapons that he has. It takes a lot of pressure off of him to have those types of guys around him.
Yeah, that's the good thing. If you were going to design an ideal situation to break in a young quarterback, you would want what? You would want a veteran offensive line that's, you know, a strong pass blocking, strong run blocking.
Check.
You'd want a good running game that can, you know, win on first and second down, put you in a good situation to succeed.
Check.
You'd want some veteran playmakers on the outside, your outside receivers.
Check.
And you would want, you know, some shifty, short, move the chains, slot receiver types. But maybe not as check. I mean, I think Braden Presley is someone we can talk about later who may fit into that role. That's something that may not be there, but everything else is pretty much there. I mean, they don't have a pass receiving tight end, but like everything else is very, it's set up for a guy. If Armani Rogers is up to the challenge, it's set up for him to step in and be good right away.
So when you look at, you know, pretty much everything that you just mentioned, we checked across the board as far as checked off of what they actually have. What would your expectations be for him going into this season? Would it be, you know, passing for 2,500 yards and 20 touchdowns? Would it be a win-loss record above 500? What are your expectations for Armani going into this season?
Well, you look at what happened at quarterback last year, and they had injuries at receiver, which hampered the passing game, especially as the season went on. But for the season, they completed, I think, less than 50% of the passes for the season, which you can't do it in football in this day and age. You can't win completing less than half of your passes. So first thing, you know, he's got to complete 57, 58%, up around approaching 60%, somewhere up there where if you're up there, you're efficient enough, you can sprinkle in some big plays, and you're actually getting positive play from the quarterback. So he's got to be more efficient than last year. I'd like to see him mix in some big plays with his arm, maybe, you know, to put a number on it, you know, 10, 12, you know, long touchdowns this year with his arm. I'd like to see him break off some long runs, which he's definitely capable of. I think those are going to be some of his best plays this year. So basically, you know, outperform the quarterbacks from last year in terms of efficiency, but then mix in the big plays that you didn't really get from the passing game last year.
I would agree. I think for me, the expectations, you know, going into this season is going to be for Armani is going to come down to more than statistics, but it's bowl or bust. I think Tony has hitched his wagon onto Armani. I think the whole offensive staff has. And he's the type of player that can transcend UNLV from a football standpoint. I mean, we'll get into talking about Tony's role in just a little bit, but Armani's his hand-picked guy. This is the guy that he wanted to be the trigger man of his offense. You know, and I think in order for that to happen, Armani's, you know, we've seen in the spring game that Armani got going once he started running the ball himself a little bit. And then that kind of got him in a rhythm, and he started to make those wow throws that we've seen, especially at the end of the spring game this year. You know, and I think all in all, the expectations, I would agree. I think 20, 25 touchdowns this year. And look, we're in the Mountain West where we don't play defense. Josh Allen at Wyoming's a 56% passer, and he throws a ton of picks. I think Armani can have not Josh Allen type stats, but I think he has the potential to be one of the top three or four quarterbacks in this conference at the end of the year should things fall in place.
Now, one of the things you mentioned, you know, Sanchez hitching his wagon to him. That was obvious last year when they were hit by injury at quarterback. They were, you know, Dalton Snead was playing quarterback. They really were looking for anyone, and they kept Armani on the sideline. They saved his red shirt. You could tell right then how committed Tony Sanchez was. He could sense that Armani Rodgers was good enough that he wanted full 4 years of him. So that should tell you right away how much, you know, Sanchez believes in him. And yeah, I mean, the big plays, you mentioned him as a runner. You saw one of the most effective things. UNLV was not a great passing team, but they got big plays running-wise out of their quarterbacks. You know, Kurt Palandek broke some big runs. Johnny Stanton showed some good things as a runner. We're getting attacked by balloons here at our at Amboyd Stadium. But you saw, you know, those quarterbacks are, you know, they're athletic, and, you know, they're kind of sneaky fast. Kurt Palandek is sneaky fast. Johnny Stanton's a big guy. They made some impressive running plays. Armani Rodgers blows them out of the water in terms of athleticism. He's faster than both of them. He's stronger than both of them. He's more elusive. He's more agile. I think he's going to make some eye-popping runs. Like, I think that he's one of those guys where he gets out and he turns the corner and it looks like he's not moving that fast, but he is just eating up yards. And I think that, like, those are going to be some of your big plays this year. It's him scrambling out of trouble, getting out of the pocket, and then just before you know it, he's 30 yards downfield. Like, that's what I see him bringing to this offense.
Well, that's why national publications compared him to Cam Newton, because he is 6'5", because he is 235, 240 pounds, because he has that big arm, and because he can get out and run. And they're not saying that Armani, I was talking to Ed Graney about this on Wednesday here on ESPN, on the press box. You know, at the end of the day, they're not saying he is the next Cam Newton. They're saying from a physical attribute standpoint, he's the only guy in college football that has the same physical attributes as Cam Newton. And what Armani brings to the table to me is a guy that is supremely athletic, maybe more so than anybody from a quarterback position already in the Mountain West Conference. He's a guy that he's got the big arm. And he's a guy that can, like you're talking about, get out and run. He's a long strider, so, you know, he can move for a big guy. And he'll put his shoulder down and run over you. I mean, he's as big as most linebackers in the conference as it is right now. And he's only going to get bigger, you know, depending on, you know, how Manny gets him in the weight room and how he packs on the pounds. He's a guy that, for me, he can really just take this offense to another level, because I don't even think Tony had it when he was at Gorman. He didn't have it with a new Solomon. He didn't have the same size, height, weight, speed with Tate Martell. This is a new toy for him, and I think he's kind of, him and Barney Cotton are figuring out how to use Armani in the right way, because you can't teach what Armani brings to the table.
Yeah, it sounds like we're pumping his Heisman candidacy here. Armani. You know, we were talking about, you know, how he's stepping into, you know, an ideal spot in the offense here. Is there anything that sort of gives you pause? Like, is there something that you have to see from him before, before we go all in on him, but I mean, it sounds like we're both already all right in on Armani. But is there anything that you want to see, like you've got to see improve first, or something that you've got some doubts, or what do you want to see from him before, you know, you're ready to fully go there?
You know, for me, it's two things, and I'm glad you asked. I was going to ask you the same thing. The first thing is, I want to see him become more vocal. You know, he's taken ownership. He's done a better job of taking ownership of the offense and done a better job of taking ownership of and command of the offense. But I'd like to see Armani be a little bit more vocal. And you know, he is a laid-back kid. I know where he comes from in California. It's not too far off from Hollywood. It's Hamilton High School in L.A. I'd like to see him be more vocal in his accuracy. Sometimes he tends to his mechanics get a little loose and the ball tends to sail on him, or he doesn't make that throw he really should make. But that's coachable stuff. That's not stuff that you have a quarterback and you're like, oh, we can't coach that. Like, you couldn't recreate Tim Tebow's throwing motion to make him a better quarterback. He has great intangibles. Where I think Armani can can grow into being a better passer with mechanics. And I think once he gets more comfortable and acclimated in the offense, especially with all the upperclassmen, you'll see him become more vocal.
Yeah, when I asked you, you know, what you want to see from him, if there's anything he's got to prove, I was thinking in particular, you know, the short passing game, that intermediate passing game, where you need to be precise and you need to make, you know, your quick reads and you need to be decisive. Is he... Do you feel like he's capable of that, you know, from what you've seen? I know you're at practice. I see you there a lot. Do you think he's capable of hitting those type of, you know, third and four, third and five passes? Or is he, you know, for now, would you rather see him, you know, there's some of those quarterbacks, you know, they drop back on third and short, and you say, just tuck it and run.
Yeah.
Is Armani going to be like that? Or do you want? Is he at the stage where you want him to hit that quick receiver and get the first down, or do you trust him more to get it with his legs?
You know, I think at this point, and at that is the early, the infantile stages of his career right here, you would want him to run, but I really believe that he wants to be more of a passer. And that's the one thing I noticed about him, even with his high school tape coming out. Armani gets out the pocket. He's not looking to run. He's looking downfield to make a play downfield. And you don't see that with a lot of quarterbacks nowadays. They get out the pocket. They tuck the ball, and they try to get as many yards as they need to get or they can get. And I think Armani is the opposite of that. And I think that's what makes him a little bit different. I would agree, again, his accuracy on them short and intermediate throws, you know, especially the dig route, the little in route. You know, at times he gets the ball tends to dip down on him, and he's got receivers have to go down for that when you really want to hit them in stride. But overall, Armani, he is a Power 5 conference quarterback that has deficiencies that would have had to redshirt at Cal, that would have had to redshirt at UCLA and maybe not play until next year when Rosen leaves after this year. So, you know, he's in a really – I think he chose a perfect situation for him, not just as a player, and I think Sanchez really played on that when he recruited him.
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, running, getting outside the pocket, that's, you know, one of his strengths, and, you know, the deep ball. He can throw it deep, and he's pretty accurate with his deep ball. I think those two things are there right away. The inside the hash passing game, the inside the numbers, in-breaking routes, precise short routes, that's the stuff that he's probably going to have to develop. But you could say that about most quarterbacks. I mean, I think with Armani, you're in pretty good hands for this year. I think they'll be, you know, it's set up for them to make a run.
Well, yeah, and I think at this point, I think you and I can agree that the season's going to go as Armani goes, whether we like it or not. Tonight is his first test against Howard. It's his first time, so I expect some jitters out of him. But I expect him to come out and throw for about 250, and I expect him to run, you know, have some big runs. But I'm expecting him to utilize Devontae Boyd, Keys, if Keys is going to go tonight because he is coming off. He did tweak his knee a little bit a couple weeks ago. Whether or not he played, that we'll find out at game time. But Darren Woods Jr. is back, you know, Presley, and there's a freshman, Drew Techman, that I know the staff is excited about. I want to see him use those guys in the running game. I'm interested to see how that goes. What do you think we need to see from him overall tonight versus Howard for you to say, okay, this is going in a positive direction?
I don't know if I can go to 250 yards passing. I don't know how many times they're going to drop back and let it go. I mean, it seems like this isn't a game that you need Armani to win. So, I mean, I see, you know, a lot of handing off. I think they'll be able to, you know, they'll run for 250 yards for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see a clean game. I don't want to see him put balls in jeopardy.
Right.
This is a game where he doesn't have to win it, so if it comes down to trying to fit in a pass or tucking it down and running, I'd probably rather see him tuck it and run. There may come a point in the season when he's got to lead a two-minute drill and he's going to have to throw it, and then, you know, at that point you want him to make that risky pass because he has to. He doesn't have to do that tonight, so I'd rather see him play a turnover-free game, take care of the ball, no balls in jeopardy, and, you know, maybe mix in a couple deep balls if you off play action, if you can get someone open deep and hit someone in stride. So turnover free, maybe make a big play downfield or two. I can almost guarantee he'll break off a couple long runs. That would be fine for me. That would be a good start for Armani.
Well, I'm just thinking about last year when they hit Devontae. I believe it was like one of the first two or three plays for a long touchdown pass, and that kind of boosted Johnny Stanton's stats a little bit. And I could see them trying to take some chances because I know Devontae is at a point where he can, at the end of the year, eclipse every record receiving-wise here at UNLV. But will UNLV be bowl-bound in 2017? You know, this team is set up, as you said, to go on a run. It seems like the Mountain West is down a little bit in terms of San Diego State losing four-fifths of their offensive line. Donnell Pumphrey is no longer there. And at the end of the day, you know, it's the Hawaii's improved, but I think the gap has been closed. I'll tell you what, Mike, answer that question when we come back. Will UNLV be bowl bound? We'll let you know that and more right here on the ESPN 1100 100.9 UNLV football pregame show.
Hi, I'm Chef Vic Vegas, and you've seen me on Bar Rescue, Food Network, and other channels like NBC. I opened my shop 7 Sinful Subs when I couldn't find the sandwiches that I loved. I figured, you know, you can't find them. You might as well create your own. Check out our most popular tailgate platter, the Rebel Huddle. This platter includes 12 mini of any sandwiches you want. Chicken fingers, potato chips, and sodas. We are located directly across from UNLV. Call 702-998-2555 for your tailgating needs, or visit 7sinfulsubs.com.
It's Labor Day weekend. Time to put away your white clothes, stuff yourself with hot dogs, and come to Findlay Toyota to receive complimentary first-year registration. It's a Vegas tradition. Thursday, August 31st through Monday, September the 4th will include your first-year registration when you purchase or lease any new vehicle at Findlay Toyota. And that's in addition to the already great deals. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Message and data rates may apply.
I picked up these designer shoes in Paris. My handbag is the absolute latest from Fifth Avenue. And here's my exclusive brand name fridge filter.
No one cares about the brand name of anybody's fridge filter, so why pay more than you have to at the big box stores when you can get a high-quality Filters Fast brand filter perfect for your fridge at a fraction of the price? Even better, text OFFER to 543-543 now to find out how to get your next filter free, plus free shipping. Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration supplier, so you'll always find a huge range of brand name filters, as well as great Filters Fast brand filters of the same high quality at a fraction of the price. And right now, find out how to get your next filter free, delivered to your door with free shipping, by texting OFFER to 543-543. Get the right filter at a fraction of the price by texting OFFER to 543-543 now.
When your air conditioner breaks down, leaving you hot and miserable, we'll be there. When your refrigerator goes out, we'll be there. And when your washer stops working, we're here for you. At American Home Shield, you can be sure we'll be on your team. When your covered system components and appliances fail, a home warranty from American Home Shield helps cover the cost to repair or replace them. For valuable free information to help protect your budget, call 1-800-600-1994. If it's your oven, no problem. Your water heater, no problem. Your washer and dryer, no problem. American Home Shield covers over 20 home appliances and system components not covered by homeowners insurance. We'll have you back up and running. You can be sure with us, the industry leader for over 45 years. Be sure with the Shield. American Home Shield. For valuable free information to help protect your budget, call 1-800-600-1994. That's 1-800-600-1994.
Message and data rates may apply.
Ladies, is your guy losing the spark and energy you used to love? Well, he can't help it. After 45, his body has less free testosterone, which can really slow him down. But ladies, we can help him feel that spark and energy again with a complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Just text FEEL to 42424. Nugenix is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, more energetic, and more passionate, too. And the results speak for themselves.
Suddenly, he has so much more energy. I can't believe it. It's definitely a turn-on.
He has passion and drive again. It's incredibly sexy.
It's like the guy I knew 10 years ago suddenly showed up again.
Award-winning Nugenix is available at many fine retailers, but you can only get your complimentary bottle from Nugenix. Text FEEL to 42424. That's F-E-E-L to 42424.
Let's get back to Sam Boyd Stadium on the ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM UNLV football pregame show. Brought to you by 7 Sinful Subs, your tailgating headquarters on college football Saturdays. Grab the Rebel Platter. Includes 12 mini subs, chicken fingers, potato chips, and soda. 4632 South Maryland Parkway across from UNLV. 702-998-2555. Live from Sam Boyd Stadium, here's your hosts, Mike Grimala and Joe Arrigo.
Welcome back to the UNLV pregame show brought to you by 7 Sinful Subs across from UNLV on Maryland Parkway. 7 Sinful Subs is your Saturday tailgating headquarters. Chow down on a Rebel Huddle. 7 Sinful Subs top football platter with 12 mini subs, chicken fingers, potato chips, and a soda. Try the knuckle sandwich, skinny dip, jive turkey, or the baller. To pre-order your platters, call 702-998-2555, 7simplesubs.com. 7 Simple Subs, right behind Rebel Books on 4632 South Maryland Parkway, 7 Simple Subs. So before we went to break, the question I asked Mike, I think it's a very relative question, it's an important question, will UNLV be bowl-bound in 2017? All right, Mike, that's the $20 million, or should I say $750 million question.
Well, I think the maybe even a better question is than will they be bowl bound is should they? Should this team playing this schedule make a bowl game? Should this team win 6 games? I feel like at this point in this preseason, looking at their schedule, I think this team is capable of winning 6 games. I think they probably should win 6 games. It's up to them to do it on the field, but if you ask me right now, I think that they should be good enough to be a 500 team. I mean, it's not the highest bar to clear to be a bowl team. You've got 12 games. You've got to win 6 of them. You're going to get an easy one today. They've got to win 5 out of 11 after this. I think they could do that. I think they probably should do that.
I would agree. I think let's just assume that they win today, which I think everybody that is a that follows college football and that's not a Howard alum or a parent of a player would say yes, UNLV should win today. So let's count it as 1-0. Next week to me is the biggest game of the Sanchez era. Because going up to Idaho to play in the Kibbe Dome is not an easy task to do. That is a dome that, in all honesty, they've had trouble in the past. I mean, Caleb Herring, had to come in for Omar last time they played there under Coach Houck, and they were down 20-0 and scored the one touchdown. It's a hot dome. It's small. It's antiquated. If they can get past that game, I think they should easily win 6 games. And I mean easy because there's some games that they should boat race some teams. But this is where the consistency of the team comes into play. Coach Sanchez has done a real good job of trying to make this team consistent. And there's been a few times where he's barked at the guys for not practicing consistent. And I think that's the learning of a young team. Even though they're experienced, they're still a young team. And they have to learn how to win. And that's what he's trying to teach them.
Yeah. And what's the difference between going 5-7 and going 7-5. What is going to make the difference for UNLV in those games? Is it Armani Rogers? Is he going to have to win a couple games late? Are they going to have to run a successful 4-minute drill? And I mean, you just think about how thin the margin is. There are going to be games that are going to come down to the second half and the fourth quarter. And I mean, you've got to know how to win them. And this is a team that hasn't won a lot in the past. How many players on this team know what it takes to put those kind of games away? And we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to find out on the fly. Is Armani Rogers capable of stealing a win somewhere? Is the defense capable of getting, one big stop when they need it this year? I mean, I don't think anyone's counting on the defense to win too many games, but they may be in a position where they're going to have to make a stop, with the time running out. Who's going to step up and win those games? You can't count on that to happen because we haven't seen it happen with these players. But if you look at the talent that they have, I feel like 6 is very reasonable. 6 is something that they should be able to accomplish.
I would agree, especially in close games. They have something that you need to have to close out games, and that's not only the Orcas up front, but that's a running game that is deep and as talented as anybody else in the Mountain West. Charles Williams last year led the team with over 700 yards rushing as a true freshman. He's a guy that's added weight. He's up to at least 193 pounds. He adds a different dynamic. Then you have Lex coming in off the jet sweeps, more of a speed guy. But for his size, Lex runs with some really big boy power. He runs well with his pad level. And then you have Xavier Campbell and Evan Owens, two big, strong, physical running backs. With Armani, they can grind out a lot of games, especially late in the fourth quarter if it's a close game. And I think they're going to – they seen that work with San Diego State and what Rocky Long does. He just grinds on you and grinds on you to that fourth quarter, and then he'll punch you in your mouth, and you guys are so worn down, you hit that big player too. I think that's similar to what Tony wants to do here with UNLV.
If UNLV finishes 5-7 or 4-8 and they don't make it, in projecting forward, what would cost them a bowl berth? What are the danger spots? Where do you think they may run into some trouble? What could keep them from accomplishing that?
I think the same thing that hurt them last year in a lot of ways, to play the secondary in the back end. I mean, and I love JD Williams. I've known JD a long time. The former defensive back coach, but his group of players played horrible last year. That was the poorest play from a defensive back that I've seen in a number of years, and that's not indicative of the guys that remain on this team. But
Tony Sanchez sounds traumatized whenever you ask him, you know, hey, Tony, what's you know, what did you work on in practice in today, or what's one of the keys of training? Anytime you ask him about it, he says, we got to stop the deep ball.
Yeah.
We got to stop the deep ball. We got to get better on the deep ball. I can't tell you how many times he said that in training camp and in the offseason. So Tony Sanchez, it was imprinted on him last year. You know, the games, there were points where, you know, third and long, whatever, it would seem like quarterback would drop back, throw deep, and UNLV, there would be someone open, or even if the defensive back was stride for stride with the receiver, it was like they were inconsistent in how they wanted to, you know, play the deep ball with their technique, and they were committing penalties, they were allowing deep receptions, and it really, you know, giving up those chunk plays like that, it really cost them a couple games. So that's you've got to see that get better.
Well, we've seen in the Central Michigan game, Mouton, who's no longer with the program, gave up three or four big plays in that game, and you don't see DBs give those types of plays up during the season, that many plays during a season. He gave them up in one game, and to me that just showed a deficiency, and the question is, and you have to question it, did they do enough with the recruiting class to shore that up? I mean, I think Robert Jackson, I like what I've seen out of him. I think Jericho Flowers is special. Tim Huff is special. Chauncey's going to bring in some more leadership that they need in that back end. You know, and you also have Greg Francis from Bishop Gorman that's probably going to get some good run there as well. They have some talent back there, but is it enough? Can they cover enough for that defensive line and those linebackers to create the pressure that they need to eliminate those deep balls?
We're going to have to find out. The other thing is, you know, if you can't defend the deep ball, you know, with your secondary, the other option is pressuring the quarterback so they don't have time to allow those deep routes to develop. That is another question mark where, you know, can they pressure the quarterback? They didn't do it last year. They were one of the worst in the country in terms of havoc rate and sack rate. So, I mean, they're not a team that gets a lot of pressure. They're not a team that blitzes a lot if you look at, you know, blitz rate and that sort of thing. They're more of they're going to sit back in their base and they're going to make you beat them, sort of a bend, but, you know, don't break. I don't think you can, unless they drastically change the way that they approach, you know, defense, I don't think you can rely on, you know, pressure on the quarterback to help you out there. It's going to come down to those defensive backs, and have they taught them better technique? Are those guys better equipped to defend those balls? Because nothing can ruin a game plan faster. Nothing can ruin a good day faster than giving up a 50-yard pass.
Well, I know we've seen it at practice. I think Coach Lockwood, David Lockwood, the new defensive back and the cornerback coach, you know, there's a big difference to me watching these corners with their technique and the way they play the ball versus what they had last year. And I do see a lot of improvement out of this group, and that also goes for the younger guys as well. I mean, they're in a position where, quite frankly, they are returning two starters on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't know if that's a bad thing, because if you had a defense that gave up as many points as they did last year, now you get rid of nine guys, you got nine new guys, that may not be a bad thing for this Rebel defense.
Yeah, it's you want to find that floor. I don't know. They may have found it last year. I was thinking back to training camp. I was talking to Tim Huff, and I asked him, you know, what do they